Hey, all right. This is the Android Headline Show, episode 90. This is all about CES 2015. Man, I am so excited. There's so much stuff going on at CES. I'm so excited. Shoot, I didn't even put up my lower thirds, man. not even worried about it tonight. We're just going to jump right into it.
I didn't do mine either.
Yep. No, man, I'm telling you. We were so excited. But my name's Jeremiah from the site. I'm joined tonight by Alex. You want to say what's up, man?
What's up, everybody? And my lower third is backwards. There we go.
Yep, good stuff. I should probably get mine up, too. So Nick is live at CES. He's been there since Saturday midday. He flew into Vegas. And he's been absolutely crushing it, man. Taking all kinds of pictures, catching all kinds of news. He sat down with Carl Pei from OnePlus and had a good interview with him. He went to the Lenovo party last night, had a good time there. So, but yeah, man, we're just talking all CES 2015. There's been a ton of stuff, which we were expecting. But I think, Alex, you said earlier on, some of the most exciting stuff for you was Android TV and Android Auto.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that much, you know, Android TV, Android Auto implementation, I guess is the right word for that, products there. Sony's decided to go all in with Android TV so that all their Bravia TVs coming out, I think starting in May, are going to run Android TV. That yep. thing is so thin. It's like, I think they said 4.9 millimeters thin. Most smartphones are around 8 millimeters thin, so that's about half the thickness of your smartphone nowadays, probably even less. Philips, as well as Sharp, are doing Android TV. Can't remember if Razer's doing an Android TV box. I don't remember if anybody else is. Or is it Razer? Maybe somebody else. I think they have an Android console for gaming.
Yes, Razer has the Android console.
Somebody has an Android TV box. I can't remember who it is. There's so much news in the last, like, 4 days, 3 days. Well, four if you count today.
What's been exciting to me is to see basically every major manufacturer jump on Android TV. So everybody, they're all saying, hey, we're putting Android TV in our smart TVs. This is going to be our platform. The fact that Sony and Philips have signed on for all of their TVs in 2015 and moving forward, all of their smart TVs are going to have Android TV. Like, they're going all in on Android TV.
Yeah. Now, I think, Samsung and LG, they did it, but that's not really surprising. You know, Samsung's all about Tizen, so they're putting that on all their TVs. And then LG's been developing webOS for TVs for, I think it's 2 years now, because they announced 2.0 Monday. They announced 2.0, which it looks really nice. But I'd like to see at least one Android TV from each of them. You know, just because some people like Samsung better than Sony's TVs or Sharp's or LG, etc. You know, choice.
Yep. And we may see, I doubt we'll see any LG TVs with Android TV because they've signed on with WebOS. Like they spent a bunch of money on that.
Yeah, they bought WebOS a couple years ago from HP.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised to see Samsung slap Android TV on some of their phones, as well as Tizen. I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah, I'm sorry, not phones, TVs.
Put Android TV on your phone.
Yes, Android TV on your phone. Put Android TV on their TVs, along with Tizen. But I don't know. We'll see.
Dual OS TV, not bad.
Right. Now, my thing is, I don't really. And maybe it'll be different with Android TV, but up to this point, I haven't really cared about a smart TV. Give me a dumb TV and let me plug in.
Yeah.
A Google TV box or some kind of home media center or even just my Chromecast. I'm not that worried about having a smart TV Maybe that's just because they've all sucked up until this point.
I have a smart TV from Vizio. I don't remember the exact model. It's like a 29-inch, you know, Vizio TV. It's not super expensive, so, it's, you know, the smart capabilities aren't that great. It basically just has Wi-Fi built in. It has an Ethernet port in the back. But I haven't used any of its smart capabilities after the first day I got it. I pretty much used it for Chromecast and PlayStation 4. That's it. And I just switched between the two HDMI ports.
Yep. And most people, I feel like, are using their cable box. They're using you know, their Blu-ray player. They're using their Xbox or their PlayStation.
Or their Chromecast, Nexus Player, Fire TV, Roku, all that stuff.
So how much this actually matters, I don't really know. But it's pretty cool to see Android TV get on everything.
I'd like to see more set-top boxes, though. I mean, the Nexus Player was nice. It had some issues. I don't know if that was all hardware or software. Probably can be mostly fixed with software, which we'll see soon. But it was a pretty nice set-top box for, you know, first-gen Android TV. Well, if you want to say first-gen, because there was Google TV. Also, they're saying some Google TV models are getting updated to Android TV. I didn't see which ones, but I remember seeing somewhere that some of them are getting updated, probably like the newer ones.
Well, I still have a Hisense Pulse in a box, so if they update that to Android. dude, I put it in a box when I got my Chromecast. I haven't touched it since.
I thought you used it for like streaming games and stuff because of a web browser.
Well, I just started pulling that up on my laptop and casting it.
Yeah.
So, no need for it anymore. But yeah, pretty cool. So we'll keep an eye on that. Especially, I had not heard that some of the Google TV stuff, Google TV boxes were getting updated to Android TV. That's cool.
Yeah, I saw it over on the Verge, I think, this afternoon. I didn't see the list, though, of which ones are getting updated. They might not even know. They might have just said some are getting updated.
Yeah. Pretty cool. And then Android Auto is also all over the place, and this was a little bit surprising, but also really cool to see.
Yeah, because Google didn't even really announce anything for Android Auto other than at I.O. You know, basically, Android Auto is coming. And I was kind of expecting to see a lot of car manufacturers, what they call it, the Open Automotive Alliance, I think is the name of that alliance or something.
Yep, that's right.
But there's a lot of car makers in there, including NVIDIA. Obviously not a car maker, but you know they're making the chips for the infotainment system that Android TV is going to run on. I think Qualcomm might be in there too. But there's a lot of car makers at CES now. So instead of just going to the auto show, which is where I expected them all to be, which is they're coming to Detroit actually middle of next week. So I'll be checking that out in a couple of weeks when I go there to the auto show. But Chevy, I think their entire 2015 line or 2016 line, or is it 2015?
They'll be announcing next year, so 2016.
Yeah. Their entire line is going to have Android Auto. Kind of confusing. They show the 2016 Volt, but they're only really showing part of it, just like the Android Auto stuff. They're making you wait until next week for when they unveil it at the North American International Auto Show. I think it's Panasonic. They have like an aftermarket one that you can put in. It's actually set up for like a minivan or something like that, not like a regular car. So you've got that. Who else? JVC, Kenwood, a few others as well, right?
This was the most surprising thing to me. Kenwood, Pioneer, JVC, all have like multimedia receivers in dash units that you can install aftermarket for like $300 or $400, some of them. So it's pretty cool that we're seeing that because I was expecting it to come from manufacturers. I wasn't expecting all these third parties to come in with you know in dash units that you could buy and have installed. That to me makes Android Auto a lot more accessible.
Yeah,
I can drop a couple $100 on replacing my in-dash unit or putting one in if I don't have one, as opposed to buying a whole new car. Melvin is asking, isn't Android Auto based on QNX? I think so.
I have really have no idea.
Yeah, I think it is. I'd have to look it up to the underlying software. I think it's all QNX based, but I'm not 100%. Melvin, I'd have to check. Just a quick Google search should probably tell us that, but I think it is.
Yeah, it's on top of QNX. I just Googled it.
So is Apple's CarPlay, right? Like everything is run on QNX.
Most likely it is.
That was one of the things recently that I was reading somewhere, or maybe I heard it on a podcast. One of the things with BlackBerry that nobody's really focused on is the fact that they own QNX and it's going into all these cars now.
Actually, CarPlay isn't on QNX,
Oh, it's
which
not.
shouldn't be surprising, given that it's Apple.
Yeah. But yes, so Android Auto is Melvin.
Yes, this is what they're saying about CarPlay is Apple doesn't make or license embedded operating systems. So that would be why.
Okay.
Which is
Cool.
probably why they have less bugs. Well, sometimes, except for when they kill your internet.
Hey, that's going to lead to the same thing like we have right now. You know, Android Auto being a somewhat open system built on a standardized platform like QNX
Could you
versus.
imagine? I just rooted my, infotainment system in my car, and now it's bricked. Can I get CyanogenMod on
Right. Why would you even do that? Also, it's probably going to be illegal because that stuff is highly
Yeah.
regulated.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's gonna be really locked down in that regard. But it's open for, OEMs to work with it. Because all the hands-on stuff I saw from like Panasonic's version, Chevy, I think Audi has it as well. They all basically look exactly the same. Like the screen looks the same. I mean, different sizes, et cetera, like that. But for the most part, it's all the same, which is what you expect. And it's the same thing with Android Wear and Android TV.
And some of these, I don't know about the manufacturers, what they're building into their new cars, like Chevy and Audi. I don't know how they're handling it, but some of the in-dash units that you can get give you the choice between AirPlay, or excuse me, CarPlay and Android Auto. So no matter which phone you have, when you get in, you just plug it in and it works.
Well, good thing Microsoft doesn't have one because you'd probably get that blue screen of death a lot.
Microsoft had their stuff in the Ford Explorers, right?
The Ford Sync.
Yep.
Totally forgot about that.
I don't know if that ever blue screened, but
Probably.
oh, and Melvin's asking, are there any benefits from rooting your infotainment device? No idea, man. I have absolutely no idea. This stuff's too new. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, what are
I
you
wouldn't
gonna?
want to because, well, all the issues I've had with rooting lately, even though that's mostly because if there weren't Nexus devices, I wouldn't root it.
Well, and what would you get out of it? Be able to use it as a portable hotspot, but you still gotta, yeah, I don't
I know
know.
Chevy has that deal with AT&T for LTE, so you can add your car to your wireless plan for like $10 a month. But that's still, that's going into your data bucket that you have for all your devices. I don't know how like the third party manufacturers are going to do it. Maybe you still have to connect with your phone to use it. We'll see.
Yeah.
I haven't
So
actually used it, so I have no idea really.
it's too new at this point, and I can't think of any benefits of rooting your entertainment center in your car, but
It's the same thing with rooting your smartwatch. I don't see a reason to do that either.
yep.
Plus, I wouldn't want to.
Well, Well, those are two really exciting things coming out of CES that are specifically Android related. We've seen a ton of stuff that's not Android related that's also really exciting. But let's jump into some other CES stuff, man, because there's a bunch of it. Ridiculous. Something absolutely ridiculous that we saw yesterday, I think.
Monday.
Monday. Okay, so Sony announced a new Walkman device, which is cool. You know, they're building on a old brand that...
Yeah, I didn't expect them to actually announce that thing.
Right. And they've been using the Walkman brand forever. For different times. You know, we had Walkman phones. Now, this is just their Walkman... Now we've got a Walkman Media Center. It's specifically for quote unquote high res audio. It's $1,200.
Well, at least you get 128 gigs of storage.
How much does a 128 gig micro SD card cost on Amazon?
Well, just not $1,200. Just looking at their price, it looks like it's like what, $100, or is it $10 per gig? That's $100 per gig, isn't it?
Yeah. Just 128
gigs. Yeah.
Yep.
I guess Sony is always pretty kind of expensive. I mean, I buy a lot of Sony stuff, but come on, $1,200 for a Walkman. I mean, Apple charges what, under $300 for their iPod? That's like 3 years old now.
Yep.
iPod Touch, and it's running Android 4.2. You couldn't even give us at least KitKat.
Out of the box, it supports MP3, obviously, but it also supports FLAC and WAV files and AVE files. So it's high-res audio. It's designed with all that storage for high-quality, high-bitrate audio files. But again, it's just obviously it's not meant for you and I, Alex. We are not the target market for this $1,200, essentially $1,200 iPod.
I don't even know what the market is.
Yeah.
I mean,
audiophiles who have extra money to spend.
I don't even know if they spend that much, because they don't even spend that much on like headphones.
Oh, well, you'd be surprised, man. Yeah, they do. On headphones and amps and. The audiophile market is insane. So somebody's going to buy this thing, but I don't know why you would. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I like Sony stuff, but this, it just has me so puzzled.
Yep.
While we're still talking about Sony, they're pushing out Lollipop to the Z3 next month. And
yes. That's
pretty much their entire press conference was those. That and the Android TV on there, Bravias.
Yeah, but if you've got an Xperia device, they're starting with the Z3 in February.
I didn't actually watch the press conference. I don't know if they say anything about the Z2 or the Z3V. I'm pretty sure the Z3 Compact will get it at the same time as the Z3.
They said the Z3 family, or the Xperia family.
Yeah, the Z3 family includes the V, because they were talking about that at their event back in... November, October, whenever that Verizon event was.
Yep. So, like, I've got a Z2 and I'm waiting on it, but I'll wait till they get it right. I'm not in a hurry on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that'll start rolling out in February for all the Xperia devices, which is what they had said before, you know, early 2015.
And that's a lot quicker than Sony used to be. They used to be very, very slow, probably one of the slowest. Right behind LG. Because LG used to be real slow before KitKat. And KitKat, I think they beat Samsung right at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And we still haven't heard any official time frames from, like, HTC, and it's just been the standard 90 days, you know? So.
Yeah, officially we haven't heard anything, but was it that Lab Twofer guy on Twitter that has all that HTC info?
Yeah,
he says it's just about done. It's just going through certification now for the M8. So,
okay, cool.
So if you're not in the U.S., you'll probably get it next week. If you're in the U.S., it'll probably be about a month from now, depending on the carrier.
Yeah. We also heard some rumors that Sony was showing off the Xperia Z4, and Samsung was showing off the Galaxy S6.
And HTC, they're saying it's not going to be the M9, but their next flagship, which they do that every year at pretty much every trade show like this, showing to carriers, other partners, like Expanses, those sites that sell the phones online. They just want, they want you to carry the phone, so they got to show it off to you, get you to sign up.
Yep. So those are out there floating around at CES, although not on the show floor and not available to the public.
Although the one thing I did see about the Z4 is it's going to be even more waterproof than before and no flaps, which has me excited.
Yes, because the one thing I hate about the Z2 is the damn flaps.
That's the one. That is like the only thing that kept me from getting the Z3 to the Z3 Compact.
If they can make it waterproof or water resistant without those, man, that'd be huge.
The Z3 and the Z3 Compact, I'm pretty sure they're not Qi charging. The Z3V is, but I don't think the other two are.
Mm-mm. Nope. So, pretty cool. What else? Alcatel. Or Alcatel's parent company, TCL, is trying to bring Palm back to life. They bought what is left of Palm after LG bought WebOS. TCL wants to basically, like, it's kind of weird, like, they want to crowdsource, kind of, Palm, so for both hardware and software, bring new devices with new Palm software to market based on, like, consumer opinion. So it's kind of a weird thing they're doing, where they are, like, asking, hey, what should we do with Palm? What do you want to see with Palm? We don't really know what kind of devices we're going to be seeing from them. It's really in some early stages. TCL is just saying that they want inspiration to come from the tech community. They've got engineers and R&D people working on it, but they want to bring Palm back to life.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to work.
At this point, just move on. But they're doing it, and I'm sure there's some, Palm fanatics that...
There's a lot out there. There's a lot of WebOS fans, too.
Yep.
I never used it, so I'm obviously not a fan.
Yeah, WebOS is fantastic, man. It was great.
Everything I've heard about it is great. And the fact that Matthias was on WebOS and then came to Google just pretty much confirms that it was great.
Yeah, the problem with WebOS was it's kind of like the problem with Windows Phone now, is just apps. There was never really a big app market for WebOS. So.
Yeah, Windows Phone doesn't really have a big app market or service market or any market, really.
Yeah, and the OS itself is fine. It's quick. It'll do what you need it to. The apps are not there. So this Google Cast for audio was something that really intrigued me as well. So Google is kind of taking Chromecast and making it not just for video anymore. Now you can cast audio. They're not calling it Chromecast. They're just calling it Google Cast, which is, I think, a smart branding move. Kind of remove that Chrome piece. But there'll be speakers. So it's basically like a wireless standard. I don't know what exactly they're using. But something like DLNA or something, where you can take your audio and throw it to a speaker. And so we're going to be seeing speakers from Sony and LG and a bunch of others with this Google Cast function. You can just take your audio, throw it over to a speaker.
It's kind of like how I think Sonos works. I'm pretty sure that's how it works like that. You can just put your music on a speaker, throw it over, and if you have different Sonos speakers throughout the house, it'll change based on where you are, or you can change it, I guess. I've never used it, but that's from what I've seen and heard.
the video that they put up, like the promo, the commercial on YouTube, looks really cool. Like, it looks super easy to use. You'll be able to use Google Cast with Google Play Music, obviously, but pretty much every other streaming music service as well. iHeartRadio, Pandora, RDO, TuneIn, Deezer, NPR One is on there, and a bunch of others too. I'm sure Spotify and it, basically any audio service. And I would imagine if it's anything like Chromecast, they'll have, you know, it'll be open, or they'll have public APIs so that developers can build the Google Cast functionality into their, you know, media players. So whatever MP3s or whatever you have on your phone or your other Android device, you can just throw over to your speaker. I am excited about Google Cast because it looks really sweet. What else? What else, man? We're going down the list here. We're blazing through this because we need to. I'm going to try and hit everything, all the major stuff, which there was a bunch. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff that we miss. If there's something exciting that you have seen at CES, drop us a note and we'll talk about it next week. Or
the ZenFone 2 is exciting.
The ZenFone 2 is very exciting. Where do I have that? I have that pulled up somewhere.
Especially for $199, and that's off contract. That's also for the 2 gigabyte version, not the 4. But even at, you know, $199 for the 2 gig version, that will put that higher than the Moto G on my list of cheap phones to get.
Yeah. So it's running on a 64-bit MediaTek chip, right?
I think it's Intel. I think. Yeah, Intel power smartphone.
Yep. Okay.
That's what it says in the link.
Yep. And you're right. And so, 64-bit Intel chip, 5.5-inch Full HD display, 4 gigs of RAM, which at first I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I remembered that unused RAM is wasted RAM, so
yeah,
who cares, but whatever.
Yeah, I have like 1.7 gigs free on my Nexus 6 right now.
Yeah, so and Android doesn't need 4 gigs of RAM to run smoothly, well, but sure, whatever.
Maybe with that Intel chip. Not only the battery size, but the camera. It's a 13-megapixel camera, and the shots that they showed on screen, it looked even better than, like, the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah, it looked like it was getting some really good pictures.
I don't think Nick had enough time to really, you know, check out the camera. Because, you know, after you do an event, there's hands-on, and everybody's pushing and shoving to get hands-on.
Right.
It's also got a 3,000 milliamp battery, but it doesn't have a Qualcomm processor, so there's no of their quick charge, but they do say that it'll go from empty to 60% in about 39 minutes, which still isn't bad for a 3,000 milliamp battery.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I've been spoiled by the turbocharger now with both the Moto X and the Nexus 6, so I hardly have to wait.
Yep. But yeah, man, this is... So we saw this $199 phone from Asus. It looks great.
It's like a complete 360 from last year's Zen phones. Those were like, well, they're still cheap, but they were like, you know, mid-range, low-end stuff. It's still Intel powered, but, you know, they weren't really great at all. Tom reviewed, I think, the 4 or 5 and then the 6 LTE. And he was really only impressed with the 4 based on, like, the specs and stuff. But now it's, like, it's still 1080p, isn't it, display?
I don't remember. Yeah. Yep.
72% screen-to-body ratio. Jeez.
Yep. Yeah, it does have, looks like it's got capacitive buttons, which sucks, but...
I mean, it's not a bad phone, because Asus doesn't make a whole lot of phones. It's, like, right, maybe 2 a year, if that. And that's all they've been doing with Android really lately. Well, other than Android TV and then the Nexus 7 before that. But they haven't been bringing the Transformer back to Android. It's been all Windows Transformers.
Yeah. But this looks nice. I didn't put this on the agenda, But Blue announced a whole bunch of like decent mid-range phones for about the same price as this Zenfone, right around $200.
Dude, they announced like more phones than Samsung did last year.
Yeah.
I saw that email from them. I'm like, sheesh, you just announced like six of them not even a month ago. And now you just announced like 10 more.
Yep.
That Vivo Air is so thin. Was it like 5.5 millimeters thin?
Currently, yes.
It's the thinnest in the world, but that won't last long.
Nope.
Especially in China.
Yep. So
it'll probably be taken out by the company name Vivo. They usually are like the thinnest.
And those Blue phones spec-wise can't hang with the Zenfone 2.
No.
Also,
the Zenfone 2 is LTE.
A lot of Blue's new stuff is too.
I think one out of the ones they announced this week are LTE. Most of them are 21 or HSPA 21. A couple are 42.
I know that super thin one is not LTE.
No, because that was the first thing I looked at in the spec sheet. It's like LTE. Nope. Dang it.
Yep. So it was that. Man, that was exciting, though. The Zenfone 2, you're right. It's an absolute beast. It's a monster. Yeah,
Melvin's talking about that LG refrigerator, which I...
Oh, gosh.
We only cover Android, so I didn't really see it. But I was watching The Verge's video about LG's crazy appliances. And I saw the washing machine where, you know, you pull it out, you get another washing machine underneath. But this one has, like, six doors. Like, you open the two at the top. And then there's two more that open up. Then you got the two at the bottom.
It's crazy.
That's LG. Or maybe that's just South Korea because Samsung does the same thing.
Yep. Doing crazy stuff. Motorola announced that they're bringing the Moto X, the Moto G, and a Moto X Pro, which is the Nexus 6.
It's this.
Yep.
So finally they get a de-Google Nexus 6. I just wonder what app store is going to be on there because Google Play is blocked. I think Amazon is blocked. So I have no idea.
Xiaomi?
I'm assuming it's going to be whatever Lenovo uses.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that's why they're going to China now is Lenovo.
Are they, and they're still calling them, you know, with the Motorola names, right? Like, they're not changing it to a Lenovo name.
The only one that's been changed is the Nexus 6. It's the Moto X Pro.
Right, okay.
I actually like that name for that for this phone, because that's what it is, really.
Yeah.
And it's like the Mizu MX4 and MX4 Pro. You've got, you know, a really good smaller phone, then you got, well, theirs isn't really that much bigger, though. It's like 0.2-inch difference. This is like a full, inch? But still, it's like, that's perfect for the Chinese market. Speaking of, Lenovo, basically, they announced a couple of really nice phones, especially that Vibe X2 Pro, that tri-colored one. I want that.
Yeah, that thing looks nice, man. I wrote that press release. They or not their press release, but I wrote it up when they released the press release. It's like metal. It's like layered colored metal. Dual 13 megapixel cameras on it. It's got a big battery. Good looking screen. Those phones, that and the, I think the P90 was the other one. The P90 had like a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, but neither of those are coming to the States. They're just going to China.
That's what Lenovo does, is they put like 4,000 milliamp batteries in their phones, and they don't put it in like their high-end ones. They'll put it in like their, you know, their mid-range ones. So if you get like, you know, imagine like a Moto G with 4,000 milliamp battery in there. That battery is beast.
That makes me wonder if maybe, because we've seen like Xiaomi and Huawei and a bunch of Chinese companies put giant batteries in their phones. I wonder if the like TD LTE networks that they run on are really inefficient in batteries.
They are. I was using it when I was in Beijing on the MX4, and when I was using the MX4 here in the US on T-Mobile HSPA, battery was so much better. I mean, I was using it a lot heavier there because I was basically on TDLT the entire time because I was able to use Google stuff on that and I can on Wi-Fi. So I was pretty much on that the entire time, so the battery was worse because of that. But man, battery sucked. It reminded me of like the Thunderbolt days and Droid Bionic.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Their networks are just not as efficient and chew up the battery, so they have to put big, 4,000 or 6,000 milliamp hour batteries in them.
It's like they got these TDLT networks that put out like 2 to 3 megabytes. It's like such a waste. I'm trying to figure out, is it because there's just so many people there that there's not enough bandwidth for everybody, or is it just because the networks suck?
It's probably a little bit of both. I'm sure that it could be tuned and optimized. The networks could, but there's
Beijing Beijing is like their version of New York City, basically. So it's packed, and that's where I was. So I don't know if that's the reason or something else. Because man, internet over there is so terrible. I was so glad to get back home.
It's also all blocked and firewalled, so you know.
Well, if you roam through T-Mobile, there's no firewall. But when you get on Wi-Fi, there is. So I was only able to check my email on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I wasn't on Wi-Fi. But yes, 1,700 sites are blocked.
Good night. That's no good, China.
Pretty much every social network we use is blocked. Well, obviously Google+, but Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, everything. Skype.
Yeah, well, they don't want anything that we use. They want to do it all themselves. So,
It's crazy.
What else? Let's see. The first day.
You want to talk about that Acer Chromebook?
Well, I wanted to talk about the new NVIDIA Tegra X1 chip too.
Oh yeah, I don't really know anything about that. I was asleep. Because this starts at like 11:30 p.m. here, so I was asleep.
Well, and NVIDIA announced it on Sunday, so it was before CES even officially started.
Yeah, NVIDIA is always the first one. They always have like that 8 p.m. Pacific time one on Sunday after CES unveiled.
Yep. So the Tegra X1 is a octa-core chip, 8-core CPU with a Maxwell-based 256-core GPU. Just a monster of a chip. 64-bit architecture. NVIDIA says it's the world's first super chip to achieve 1 teraflops in mobile computing. So it's just the next, super fast chip they're going to be packing into their devices.
We'll probably really only see it in like the new Shield tablets and, Shield devices, really.
Yeah.
Because, NVIDIA just isn't that popular with OEMs these days. Asus used to use it on everything, but now they've switched to Intel. HP used it in that 15-inch Chromebook, or not Chromebook, but Android tablet or laptop they had. It worked pretty well. I think it was the Tegra 4, not the K1. But it still worked pretty well.
Yep.
And we probably won't see it till the second half of the year, probably closer to Q4.
I have to get Nick to kind of dive into that a little bit more, because he understands that stuff a little bit better than I do.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
But, it's going to be a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Acer announced that 15-inch Chromebook, so this is the first 15-inch Chromebook.
Yep, they're touting it as the world's first 15-inch Chromebook.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I guess it's true, because was the Chromebook Pixel 12.85 or 14.85? I think it was 12.85.
Was it? I thought it was bigger. I thought it was almost 15 inches.
Yeah, I think it was 14.85.
I have to look that up. I don't remember. I believe it was 14.
I know it was
15 inches, but...
I know it was... Okay, it's 12.85. Okay, so yeah, this is still the first 15-inch one. It's not a bad Chromebook at all. Typically with Acer, you get all kinds of different options. 16 or 32 gigabyte SSD, an Intel Celeron processor or i3, 2 or 4 gigs of RAM, so you can mix and match those things. They have pretty much every combination available. Prices start at $249, which is the crazy thing. Obviously, that's not going to be 4 gigs of RAM or 32 gigabyte SSD or an i3. It's just not going to happen at $249. But I wonder what the 4 gigabyte one will be, because for me, I don't care about the SSD size. Everything's in the cloud anyways.
Right, right. But yeah, man, that's pretty cool that you have the option of, you know, upgrading the processor from the Intel Celeron processor to a Core i3.
Also, they have 1366 by 768, which we all know sucks, but they also have it in 1080p, which is awesome.
So you can get a decent display on it, too. Yep.
Yeah, and that definitely won't be $249.
No, no.
That $249 will be the, you know, the 1366 by 768 that we all hate now.
That's been one of the things about Chromebooks that has turned me off, is that they've been underpowered. The screens are too small, and the screen resolution is too low. Well, now, for what? If you max it out with the Core i3 with a 1080p display and 4 gigs of RAM, it probably, what, cost you $400? So,
right about that. It, depending on what you do, like, with your laptop all day, Chromebook might be perfect for you. It might not be. For me, for pretty much everything I do, it'll be perfect. I just have to find something else to do besides using Lightroom for pictures. But for everything else, I mean, everything's in Chrome anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah.
For the most part, it's not a big deal. I had the Samsung Chromebook, the first ARM one. It was not that good. And I think part of it is because Chrome OS wasn't really optimized for ARM yet. I don't think it still. But also, it was only 2 gigs of RAM, so like you open up more than 3 tabs. You go back to another one, it refreshes because it needed that memory that tab was using for your other tab. And when you've got as many tabs open as I do, that gets pretty annoying. Like right now, I have about 15 open, so.
But yeah, this is exciting, man. It's cool to see a 15-inch Chromebook. Chromebooks are kind of stepping. I think this year we'll see them step up more.
For me, the 15-inch is still a little bit too big. I'd rather have, I think 13.3 is the sweet spot for me. So that 13, or Chromebook 13 they announced last year, it was pretty much perfect, but there's that memory leak with that was the Tegra K1 Chromebook, but there is a memory leak there. It's not really a big deal as long as you close Chrome every once in a while. But I don't really close Chrome that often, so it's kind of annoying for me. Other than that, it was a great machine, perfect size, lightweight. I mean, did everything you needed a Chromebook to do.
Yep.
They probably have the biggest market share, too. I mean, they announce so many Chromebooks, and they sell so well because they're so cheap.
Yep. Yeah.
HP might be second because that Chromebook 14 has been really popular. Well, for a while, it was the only one that wasn't 11 inches.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. So if you can find one bigger than 11 inches,
and the HP Chromebook was the cheapest one with 4 gigs of RAM for a while. And it had LTE, so if you had T-Mobile, or even if you didn't have T-Mobile, you'd get free LTE, like 200 megabits a month. I mean, it's not much, but it's free.
Right. Yeah, get the job done in a pinch.
Yep. But at least it's not 1500 like the Chromebook Pixel.
Yeah. Let's see. ZTE announced the X Max and the Z Max. So the Z Max is heading to T-Mobile. The X Max is heading to Cricket. It's basically the same phone. 5.7-inch.
I think you have it wrong.
6-inch. Yeah, the X Max Plus.
I don't think they announced the Z Max Plus. I think it's just for Cricket this time.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Yep, I read that incorrectly.
Yeah.
So the Z Max on T-Mobile, but the X Max Plus is heading to Cricket with a 6-inch display.
Yeah, I know where I messed you up at because I wrote that article.
Good job, buddy.
I was comparing it to the Z Max and the X Max because it's just a bigger version.
Yeah, yep.
5.7 to 6 inches. It's, what was it, $199? I think. A little more than that.
Yep, $199.
That's cheaper than the Z Max, because the Z Max is 250, and it's got a bigger screen and pretty much all the same internals.
Just the display is only 720p, but it's got a 3200 milliamp hour battery, and the thing's going to last forever.
That's what the Z Max is. 720p, 5.7 inch display, and it's got like a 3200 milliamp battery. That thing lasts for like ever.
Yep.
Because they let me keep the Z Max, so it's basically my Showbox Chromecast controller.
Nice. Nice.
Charge it like once a week.
Yep, that's cool, man. So that's a good option if you're on Cricut. Here's a big one. The LG G Flex 2.
That red one is hot.
Yeah, so this is something to get excited about. The G Flex 2 has a 5.5-inch display, so they shrunk it down from the massive 6-inch display.
I was surprised that it's the same size as the G3.
Right.
I expected it to basically take the place of the G Pro because they're stopping the G Pro line. So I expected, you know, 5.7, 5.8 if they went down from 6. But now that they've gone down to 5.5, the rumors of the G4 being smaller, I'm starting to believe now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fine.
I mean, 5.3 in that body, still perfect. Actually, it would be a smaller body because of their bezels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just hope they bring that self-healing back to, like, the G4 and the other ones because they said in their press conference that, you know, like, when you scratch the back of the G Flex, it took, I think, like, around 10 minutes for it to disappear. Now it's up to 10 seconds, so it literally disappears in front of your own eyes.
Yep. You know what I mean? They need to bring that self-peeling plastic to everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's plastic, but, man, that's cool.
Yep. I'm not as concerned with it. I mean, the glass on the back of my Z2 is a little bit scratched up, you know?
Yeah, they did a better job on the, well, at least the Z3V. I didn't really use the Z3. I had to send that to Justin to review. But the Z3V, they did a lot better with the glass. Because after, like, 2 weeks, I had, like, no scratches. Z1, scratches everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what's starting to happen with my Z2. Like I'm gonna want to put a case on it somehow, or even just a.
I think that's the only phone that has a screen protector for the front and back.
Yep. I need to get one just for the back. I don't.
Well, I should say Sony's the only one that has phones for that. To get that.
But the G Flex 2 is now a 1080p display, so they stepped that up from the original G Flex. It's got a 64-bit octa-core Snapdragon 810.
Yep. It's actually the first 810, well, to be announced, I should say, not to be available, because it's coming to 18T Sprint, but no release date yet. So something could beat it. We'll see.
Yeah, and we may not see it for a couple of months, but...
It depends, because last year we got it pretty much right away. So we'll see.
13 megapixel camera with OIS and the laser autofocus from the G3. 16 or 32 gigs of storage and a micro SD card slot. And it runs Lollipop out of the box.
Yep, pretty much everything announced this week was running Lollipop. Even that Zenfone 2 was running Lollipop at $199.
Yeah.
I think the only ones that didn't was ZTE and Blue. I think they're still in KitKat. But other than that, I think everybody else is Lollipop, which that was another thing I was surprised at, and happily surprised at.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see, what else? 3,000 milliamp hour battery in the G Flex 2, and it's got a 23% curve. So
it's a little more curved than the original G Flex.
Yeah,
it still flexes just as well as that one did. That's the best part of reviewing, is flexing that thing. Well, that and taking your keys and scratching the back of it.
And then watching it, yeah, heal itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was LG's big smartphone announcement. And it looks great. The first G Flex, I was kind of like, okay, it's a little bit too big for my taste.
Man, and that battery life was like, the battery life was so insane.
I'm sure it was.
I mean, 720p, 6-inch display, 3500. I think it was 3500 milliamp battery. I think it was bigger than the G2.
And with even with a giant display like that, because it was just 720p.
It was also OLED, so less power.
Yeah, and LG is all about OLED displays. So they've on their TVs too. They've talked about that at CES. Yeah,
with the G Flex it's OLED, but the G2, G3, that's all IPS.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the 3500 on the G Flex. That's why it was so insane.
Yeah. Well, and with it, you had more room with the 6-inch display on that phone.
Yeah, it wasn't thick at all. I mean, I know a lot of us are like, we want thicker phones, not just because of the battery life, but because it'll be more comfortable to hold. Like the Joy Turbo, that thing was so comfortable to hold because it's thicker, so because of the bigger battery.
Yeah.
Compared to some of these really thin phones, well, like that Blue Vivo Air and some of the other Chinese ones, they're just so thin, they're not really that comfortable. Yep. I'd take the extra battery any day. I'm sure everybody else would too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Especially those that have an iPhone 6.
Yeah, they would. They need to take an Android phone. That's what they need to do.
They need to get more support for that frame.
Nick interviewed Carl Pei from OnePlus. And that was a great interview. He talked to Carl for like almost half an hour. Asked him about their relationship with Cyanogen Inc. Asked him about the kind of the success of the company and kind of where they've come, how far they've come in the past year. Nick was pretty bold with some of the stuff, and he asked him about straight up about some of the big mistakes they've made and if they would change anything.
Like the ladies first selfie.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a great interview, man. I was really stoked to see that. And Carl was really honest. He's like, look, man, we had some good ideas. We had some bad ideas. We screwed some stuff up. He said at one point, let me see if I can find the quote. Carl said, going forward, the OnePlus that we show to the world will be much more professional and less controversial. So they're learning. They understand that they've done some stupid stuff and they're fixing it. One of the things that he said was that OnePlus is going to be working on different variants of phones. So we'll have a US and a European variant for devices.
Yeah, basically think of like the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 5, how we had, or probably Nexus before that as well, but those are the two that come to mind for me. You had the European version, then you had the US version, and the only difference was the bands. On the current OnePlus, there's only like one band in the UK that's supported right now, and that's why I guess there's still quite a few people in the UK buying it, but that's why a lot of people have decided not to get it. For instance, Tom, he wanted it, but doesn't fully support the network he's on, so there was no point in getting it, really. So they're going to fix that in the next one.
Yep, yep. Carl was pretty frank about the invite system, and we already knew this, but he basically said it was inventory control to keep the risk down. We understood that that was going to, make us kind of look bad sometimes, but it was about controlling the risk and not spending more money than we had, even if it meant ticking off some customers. So if you haven't read the review yet, go read that. It's pretty cool.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, they have money. They're part of Apple. Yeah. That's how you say it, right? I don't know how the finances are going between Apple and OnePlus, if Apple's actually like giving them money or they just gave them money to get started or whatever's going on with it. But that's what it sounds like. And, we don't have any hard numbers, so we can only go by what Carl has told us and what OnePlus has told us. But basically, they don't have the finances of, like, you know, LG or Samsung or HTC or any of these other ones. So that's why they can't just go ahead and order, like, a million OnePlus Ones when they announced it back in April. They could only order a few at a time because you can't spend money you don't have.
Yep, yep. And so between some of the stuff that we saw with CyanogenMod Inc.'s CEO kind of bad-mouthing OnePlus, and just Carl being really honest with us when he sat down with Nick, I am still not necessarily a big fan of some of the stuff they've done, but you know, I've got a little more respect for the company. They make a great phone, so I was happy to see Carl.
Yeah, he didn't say anything bad about OnePlus. Basically, I transcribed the whole thing. I'm trying to think of what he said.
About CyanogenMod?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, like, we're happy with them. You know, no hard feelings, anything like that. You know, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be in the spot we are today, which is completely true.
Yep.
Because, you know, think about it. OnePlus came out with a phone, and it just had stock Android on it. Not CyanogenMod or even ColorOS from Apple. How many people would buy it? How many people even pay attention to it? Not as many.
Nope.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think CyanogenMod was a big marketing thing for them. Really, I mean, it's really what it was. It was a marketing partnership, really.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool. Go check out that interview if you haven't read that yet. It's up on the site, and it's a good one. So good job, Nick. I've been telling Nick, like, every few hours, I'm like, hey, dude. You're kicking butt at CES. Good job, man. he's there by himself holding it down for us. And he's running himself ragged all over the place. So really cool. Dude, Nick, we appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, I'll be doing Mobile World Congress by myself. Probably be worse.
Oh, I'm sure, man.
Because that's where everybody does their flagships.
Yep, you are going to be busy.
I think LG is supposed to be doing their G4 there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. HTC announced the Desire 826, as well as some new products for, like, home and fitness and entertainment, some other not Android-related stuff. But, whoops.
Yeah, it looks like the link got messed up.
Yeah, I put a space on the end of it. I'll fix that.
Okay.
Just take the space off, and it'll take you to the 826 announcement page. So it's got a 64-bit Snapdragon chipset in it.
410, right?
610.
Oh, 610. Okay, yeah, yeah. This one came out, like, late last night, or Monday night, I think it was. Yeah, I think Monday when night. I saw it at PepCon, so yeah, that will be Monday night.
Yep. So it's got a 2 gigs of RAM, 5.5-inch 1080p display. It's a good-looking phone. 13-megapixel camera on the front and the back, just like the Desire Eye.
Actually, the front one has a 5-megapixel ultra-pixel camera.
Does it? Okay, then our articles. Our article's wrong.
This one. I'm pretty sure it's the 826 that has the 5-megapixel front-facing one.
Well, then we'll need to update that because... I'm reading it from our article. It says 13 megapixels on the front and back. Yep.
If you look at the picture from the Weeble at the bottom, it's ultrapixel.
Okay.
The ultrapixel, that's going to be interesting on the front. Because, I mean, typically you have crappy, you know, front-facing cameras. But the ultrapixel isn't bad. And if you're just taking selfies, then you're most likely just going to post them on Facebook anyways or Twitter or Instagram. So that lower resolution isn't really going to matter, but you're going to get more detail in because of the bigger megapixels in there. Was it like 2 microns or something? I forget the exact size.
That would be a good use for the ultrapixel camera.
Like, cause it's obvious people don't want it on the back. I mean, I like the concept of ultrapixel. I've always gotten pretty good pictures out of it. But I didn't realize a lot of people actually print out their pictures still. I just post them on, like, you know, Google Plus and stuff. So that didn't matter. The resolution didn't matter to me.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, that would be a great way for them to use that ultrapixel camera and, you know, not just scrap the work that they put into it.
Imagine if they had done, like, the dual camera on the front.
Right?
Get, like, the blurred background for your selfie.
See, yeah.
That would be kind of cool, though.
Yeah. You could do it, you know, with some like, photo processing software, but...
Oh, yeah.
It'd be cool if you could do it with a camera. Be fun, at least. So they announced that. The other home stuff, I linked to it, the home and fitness entertainment stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
So that was one of those things that, like, there was way too much stuff going on.
Yeah, just about everybody announced, like, connected home stuff. They partnered with... what's the name of that company?
HTC partner? HTC partnered with somebody?
Yeah, it's like Urban Armor or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget what the name of that one is, but they're, you know, they're trying to get, well, as the article says, it's, they're trying to get into the fitness, but they partner with a few companies for different things that we'll probably see more of either Mobile Congress or later this year, because it was pretty much just an announcement.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, something else from LG that we forgot to mention when we were talking about the G Flex. They are unofficially showing off a dual-edged flexible display device.
Yep.
It's basically their version of the Note Edge. It's got a 6-inch HD display. We haven't seen it, obviously. We haven't seen any official pictures of it. It's just a leaked photo.
It's basically being shown off to, you know, carriers and stuff like that.
So, but that means they'll probably be announcing their LG version of the Note Edge sometime in the summer.
Yeah, possibly with the G4.
Yep. Or,
I mean, maybe not, because, you know, LG likes to do things a little bit differently. They like to do one smartphone at a time. So if we get the G4 at Mobile Congress, we'll probably get that Edge one at maybe IFA, or maybe it'll be a separate event before that.
That's what I was thinking, IFA or, like, you know, right at the end of the summer, sometime September.
I'm still not sure about it being, like, the G4 being at Mobile Congress, though, because they used for the G2 and G3, it was a separate event, like, in the middle of nowhere. Like, it was, what, August, I think, for the G2, and, like, May for the G3. So it's like when no other events are going on, they had their own. So I wonder about the G4.
Yeah, they might just kind of do their own deal again. Let's see. Huawei announced a couple of new phones. Nick got some hands-on time with the Honor 6 Plus.
Yeah, they're not actually new. We just got hands-on, basically.
Okay.
The 6 Plus, I think, was announced late December, so about 3 weeks ago or so.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's basically a better version of the Honor 6 that I don't know if he reviewed it yet, but he's working on reviewing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's quite finished that up yet, but he did... that's cool. He got some hands-on time with the 6 Plus to kind of compare the two to see the upgrades.
The Fuhu Navi tablets, man, they just went crazy. 42, 55, and 65-inch tablets.
Jeez.
I mean, those are bigger than my TV.
Yeah, 60. So those are, I guess you'd put them on the wall.
Yeah, well,
you're like...
Yeah. That's what the picture's showing, like the kids painting on the wall. That is the tablet, basically.
Yep, yep. Jeez Louise. That's really cool, actually.
It's cool, but it's crazy. I guess it needs to be plugged up all the time.
Yeah, that's something you'd mount on the wall, like your TV, and just plug it in and leave it plugged in. I could see, man, you could put one of those like in your kitchen and use it instead of a chalkboard. Take notes on it, grocery list, that kind of thing. You could put it right in front of your door. Like
Arcos. Right in front of your... Arcos launched I think it's called the kitchen screen. It's a tablet basically just for, you know, a grocery list.
Oh, yeah.
It has other apps too, though, so you can, you know, pull up recipes, you know, different stuff like that to use in the kitchen. It's actually really cool. I think Nick will probably like it because he liked their home automation stuff, and it fits right in with that whole home automation like kit that he reviewed what, a couple months ago now.
Yep.
Let's see what else. Oh, that Panasonic like camera phone, the Lumix CM1.
Yeah, this is a big deal too. This is cool.
It is coming to America. That's the big deal.
Yep.
Because they announced it last year, and I was like, I want that thing. And then this week, they're like, it's coming to America. I'm like, yes.
My next phone. So it's got a 4.7-inch 1080p display, 2 gigs of RAM. It's running on a Snapdragon processor. It doesn't say which one. They might not have went into specifics.
It might be the 800, because it's not all that new. It might be the 801. It's not really new. It's close to a year old now. So it's
running KitKat.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising, given it's Panasonic and they don't have a whole lot of experience with Android.
But it's got a 20-megapixel camera on the back.
That's the sweet spot.
Is this the one that's got optical zoom? No, that wasn't this one. That was another one.
I think it's that one, isn't it?
I'm looking to see. Because there were... I thought it was it. There was another one. It doesn't say. Our article doesn't say. But there was one phone that had optical zoom. And it might have been this one. I'll have to look. This Panasonic phone, though, is $1,000. So you're going to shell out some good money for it. But the camera should be out of this world.
If the camera is as good as it's supposed to be, that's about as much as you're going to pay for a camera that's that good anyways. So
yeah.
Just so, for it to be this Sony Arx 100 is, I think, a $798 right now. And that camera is supposed to be right on par with it. So, you know, a couple hundred dollars more and you've got, you know, Wi-Fi, LTE, you know, a phone all in there.
Yep. Yep. Polaroid released a selfie phone.
Yeah, who didn't release one?
Right. Their phone looks kind of like the Oppo, what is it, the N1 that had the rotating camera on the front?
Yep.
So this has got 5.5-inch 720p display, 2 gigs of RAM. It's running Lollipop, which is cool.
Yeah, Nick went and checked it out today or tonight. I don't know if the hands-on has gone up yet.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, last time I checked, he was going to find it. MediaTek, they got an Android Wear prototype, and it has a camera.
So this, actually, the one that this Polaroid camera might be the Oppo N1, because it's got that 13-megapixel swivel camera. It doesn't have a front-facing camera. It's just the swivel, like on the N1.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, Polaroid was just like, just give us the N1, we'll rebrand it as our own.
Yep.
I mean, it looks identical, even the same color.
Did the N1 have a 720p or a 1080p display, though?
I have no idea.
Anyway, but yeah. They announced that.
1080p display.
Yeah, so a little bit different, but that's cool. So basically the same hardware other than that.
Yeah.
What about this phone from Sagus? Did you see that? The V2 Super smartphone?
I didn't really look at it, but I think I published it earlier.
So it's got a 1080p, a 5-inch 1080p borderless screen, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Snapdragon processor, 64 gigs of RAM. The SD card slot, micro SD card slot, supports up to 256 gigabyte cards. 21-megapixel camera on the back and 13-megapixel camera on the front.
So I wonder if that's a Sony sensor on the back.
Probably.
Just about every 21-megapixel is a Sony sensor these days.
3,100 milliamp hour battery and is IPX7 certified for underwater use. This phone is crazy. This is crazy.
Look at the price tag. It's probably just as crazy.
I don't see a price listed.
There probably isn't one yet.
It's got Qi wireless charging.
Man, that thing's going to take forever to charge.
It's got both CDMA and GSM technologies built into it, but Sega isn't saying what networks or bands it supports, so that's interesting. Weird. Sega is also saying that it's including something called wireless HD technology, which lets users send wireless video to any monitor or television using a 60 gigahertz wireless dongle. This is so odd. This is like the weirdest phone ever. This thing can do everything. Take video underwater. So if you want to see something really interesting, go check out the Sega's V2 Super smartphone that they announced at CES.
There's something else that's really interesting. There's a speaker. I don't think we covered it, though. There's a speaker yesterday that was announced. I can't remember the name of it. But, man, it is indestructible. Like, they did a YouTube video of it. They ran it over. Nothing. They shot it, a bunch of times, still playing. They blew it up a couple of times. It, melted, and it was still playing.
Whoa!
The whole frame was melted, but it was still playing.
That's a fun... Yeah, that's a fun video to shoot.
Of course that's a fun one to shoot when you get to blow up stuff.
Yeah! That's wild, man.
You should probably watch out how you say that, though.
Right, right.
NSA is probably watching.
Yeah, listening. Be careful.
Kodak has a phone, too. Probably a selfie phone, too. I didn't really look at it.
I saw that they announced one. I read a little bit about it, and apparently the camera on it is not that great. And
it is a Kodak.
Right, but a camera company should have a decent camera on their phone. Whatever.
I never saw decent cameras from them, really. I mean, the ones I used from them were, years and years ago. Probably, 2006 or earlier.
Well, so yeah, because
they've improved a lot since then. I mean, cameras in general have improved a lot since then. But I've never been impressed with their stuff, really.
Well, this is not Kodak, the same company, because that company went bankrupt. This is another company that bought the name, so... Dell announced some new stuff, too.
That Venue 8. The Venue 8, man, that thing looks so good. It reminds me of the Sharp Aquos Crystal. Yeah, that's the one Sprint has. Where it's it's bezel-less, but then it has, that chin at the bottom with everything.
Yep.
Except this one isn't quite bezel-less. It's close, but not quite.
But almost, yeah. It's got a really small bezels. QHD display.
Yep.
Intel chipset.
Yep. We got hands on with that today, so that's on the site already.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Just going through seeing what else is here.
Dell also announced the Dell Cast, which is to compete with Chromecast. I don't know why, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Nick loves it, but I'm not sure why it needed to exist.
It doesn't work. It's not designed to work with every Android smartphone or tablet. It only works with Dell Android tablets.
Which is three tablets?
Yeah.
Maybe four? I think it's four, because this is their third Venue 8, and they did a Venue 7 last year. So, just not there's a ton of Dell Android tablets out there. If you go to Windows tablets, there's a lot more. But it's not a whole lot of choices there.
But it also says that they are, because they're doing it that way, they are able to do some other cool stuff with it. You can basically plug in with the HDMI dongle. It's got a full USB port on the bottom, so you can plug in a wireless mouse and keyboard and use your Dell tablet as a PC all wirelessly through this Dell Cast dongle.
Yeah.
So kind of cool functionality. It'd be nice if they brought it to more devices.
They announced some laptops too. Obviously, we didn't cover them because they're Chromebooks. But from what I've seen from other sites that do cover it, they're actually pretty nice laptops. I think there's a new XPS 13 that's really nice.
Yeah, they announced a, I don't know if it was the XPS 13 or which XPS one it was, with like an edge-to-edge display.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I think, I don't know what the name of it was. I don't even know what their product lines are anymore for Windows.
It was an XPS, but I don't know the full name or the screen size.
I think it was a 13. That's the one I remember seeing, though. But, I mean...
Yeah, edge-to-edge, man.
And it's not going to be cheap.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, as long as it's light, I'm happy with that. I mean, that's, more screen with less space on a laptop. But if it's heavy, that's going to be the issue because you're going to be porting that around. Most people will be.
Yep. Let's see. So some other stuff that wasn't necessarily...
Oh, Sony, their Smartwatch 3, stainless steel. And also, I actually have mine here packed up ready to go back. So I'll just show it in here. The watch part, that's right there. It pops out of the whole thing. So what they're doing now is they're selling this holder here is what they're calling it. That's going to be separate. So you can use your own watch bands that attaches to that.
Oh, interesting.
Which they should have done in the first place, but they didn't. And some of the ones that they had on display, man, they looked nice. I wasn't a big fan of the black silicone one, from pictures. But once I got in person, it's like, that's not too bad. But some of the other ones I got now, especially that stainless steel one, man, it looks so good.
Yeah, dude, it does. They look great.
I bet that steel one's going to be like at least $400 because the silicone one is $300.
Yeah, and they'll charge an extra $100 for the stainless steel band.
Probably. Let's see. Motorola's charging $50 for theirs, so probably $50 to $100 for Sony as well.
Yep.
Plus, it's not just the band. It's, the part around the watch face as well as steel. So...
let's see. Oh, AT&T. So this was AT&T announced rollover data too.
Yep.
This was just today.
And John Ledger's already going off on them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I need to go look at that in a little bit.
Yep. So it works pretty much the same way as T-Mobile's rollover data. You use your regular data allotment first, and then you hit your rollover data. They said that unused rollover data does not carry over, is the quote that they used. But then in the breakdown, let's see, when Justin wrote about it, he said that it recycles after a year. So it's the same like rolling 12 months that T-Mobile has with their rollover data.
Yeah, earlier they were saying that it only rolls over for a month. So, if you have 2 gigs you didn't use this month, you have to use it next month or it's gone. Yeah, and, okay. Of course, you got to use your data bucket first, and then you can use that.
Yeah.
Or so that just made it what's the point in it, But now that they've updated that press release so it rolls for 12 months, because when they did rollover minutes, 2007, 2008, around that time, it would roll over for 12 months. And I think by the end of the year, I had thousands of minutes left.
Right.
I never used any of mine.
Yeah. So now, same thing with data, and it makes a little more sense to do it that way.
I was kind of surprised that, they hadn't done it already because they did rollover minutes. You'd think they'd have the idea, or maybe that was all a singular idea. I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, you said John Ledger is already bashing it to AT&T over this.
Justin sent me a screenshot of what he was saying. I haven't read it, though.
I'm sure it's funny. T-Mobile announced some preliminary Q4 2014 numbers. They broke 55 million subscribers, and they passed Sprint. So now they're in the number 3 spot.
They passed Sprint for now. I'd put an asterisk under there or after that Because Sprint hasn't announced their Q4 numbers yet. So that's why I was saying in the article, temporarily, because T-Mobile is always, you know, they want to announce it at CES so they can get, you know, all the press, even though they're going to get it all anyways, because they have John Ledger as their CEO. But basically, their preliminary numbers were, was it 2.1? Or was it 2.3?
They added 2.1 million net customers.
So the last one was 2.3.
Yep.
So 3 out of 4 quarters, they added 2 million people for a total of 8.3 over the whole year. That's not bad at all for a company that was, you know, not doing too well about, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago now?
Right.
And almost 1 million a quarter?
Yep.
That's, like, a huge turnaround.
Yep. They added a total of, they're saying, 8.3 million net customers in 2014.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I can't see, so Sprint at the end of quarter three, 2014, Sprint, yeah, was just under 55 million, and now T-Mobile is saying they're over 55 million.
T-Mobile is like 55 million and 18,000 customers. That's the exact number. Sprint, I'm pretty sure it was rounded up a little bit, but it was like 54.8 million. So it's not a huge gap, but there is a gap there right now. And depending on what Sprint did in Q4, you know, T-Mobile might drop back down to number four once they announce their numbers, which might just happen because, you know, Sprint stores have been getting busier since Marcelo took over, what, a couple months ago now?
And they actually added customers in Q3, didn't they? By only like a couple hundred thousand?
Yeah, I think it was a really small number because, well, you know, a lot of the negative numbers were still from the Nextel stuff, and that finally finished up after Q2. So Q3, they finally got back to, you know, adding customers instead of just trying to stay afloat. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I like that they're getting, well, both of them are getting AT&T and Verizon competing now. More AT&T than Verizon, but it's still happening.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. That is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on T-Mobile, and the biggest part is actually their roaming. You know, with all the trips I have going out of the country, it's just easier just, you know, use Edge for a day or two instead of having to pay for roaming data.
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff is not cheap. And even their high-speed roaming data is cheaper than everybody else. 500 megabytes for $50, you know, at AT&T, that's like 120 megabytes.
Yeah. Yeah, overseas data is, for roaming data, if you're trying to use a U.S. carrier overseas, it's outrageous. It's crazy.
Data in China is crazy. I was looking at an international SIM for the second trip I did over there. Everybody is like, you know, 18 cents per megabyte or lower. China is like 250 per megabyte.
It's holy, like, smokes.
I'm better off with T-Mobile just roaming on them.
Yep.
I don't know why it's so expensive over there. I mean, it's so slow.
Yep. What else, man? Anything else jump out at you from CES? Because that's all that I had on the agenda, plus a whole bunch more.
See what else we've got here.
I'm sure there's some more stuff. Oh, I do want to mention this, too, while you're looking up what else at CES. We are giving away a OnePlus One. So they... I think it's a 16 gig version, not the 64 gig version.
Yeah, I think it might be, which is kind of weird. I don't know how they got that.
I mean, it's fine. Whatever, it's a free phone.
Yeah.
It's through the Android Headlines Deals website. So you can go enter that to give away or to win a OnePlus One in our giveaway. So if you're looking for a new phone, if you want a free phone, or if you just really want a OnePlus One, it's a pretty cool giveaway.
I think what was even more interesting than the Android Auto and Android TV stuff was Samsung announced nothing mobile. I mean, we sat
there at a
whole press conference, nothing. Like, I was checking Samsung Mobile's Twitter account. They didn't say anything about the press conference. I'm like, I don't think they have anything. You know, 45 minutes came and went. They talked about TVs, you know, appliances, nothing mobile, and they didn't announce anything mobile. Well, you know, the Samsung Gear VR, they announced some stuff for that, but, you know, it's just like Milk Music for that and stuff like that, but not any new phones. And that's a first for Samsung. They said they were going to cut back, and it looks like they're doing that.
Yep. And they had some phones on display. They had like the A3 and the A5. And
technically, they did announce a phone for Boost Mobile, the Prevail LTE or Prevail 2 LTE or something like that. But, you know, that's a phone that's only on Boost Mobile, so nobody really cares and doesn't really matter that much.
Yep.
So technically, they announced one, but still there was like nothing from them, which is crazy because last year they announced like 10 tablets.
Yeah, they said they were going to scale back, and they certainly did.
Yep.
Anything else, man?
I think that's about it.
That's still only a fraction of the stuff that we covered on the site, and we only got to a fraction of the stuff at CES, man. You can go to androidheadlines.com and pull up the CES 2015 section, and there's you spend all day tomorrow browsing stuff, man. There's so much stuff. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, there's a ton of speakers that were announced. I think Braven announced like 100 speakers. They're like the new Samsung. But their speakers are awesome.
They can send them all to me and I'll review them.
Their speakers are so awesome. Oh, yep. And Scipio, that off-grid battery backup. It's got a Qualcomm Quick Charge 2.0 now. I mean, nice. It's 6,000 milliamp battery. But if it's like the other off-grid that they have sent me, it has Qi charging as well. So you can just put your phone on top of it and charge it from the battery pack, which is why it's going to be more expensive.
Right, but that's really cool. That's a cool feature too.
Yeah, there's a ton of wearables. Alcatel had their own watch announced. It actually looks really nice. I mean, it looks like the Moto 360 without the flat tire. But
yeah,
it also doesn't need Android. It can work on Android or iOS. I think it works with Firefox OS as well, which is the interesting part.
I saw that. I don't remember the Firefox part, but I remember seeing that it was Android or iOS. It's not an Android Wear device.
Yeah. I think it was an Android Wear device, and at $149, everybody would go crazy for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looks as good as the Moto 360. We got pictures of it yesterday, or day before, I think it was yesterday. It's a really nice-looking watch, and at $149, Android Wear, that thing would sell so quick.
Yep. Yeah, and there was a ton of watches and other wearables that were announced too.
Yeah,
we've been going for an hour and a half. We still haven't had time to talk about everything. It's great, man. I love CES. But I think that's gonna do it for the Android Headlines Show episode 90, CES 2015 edition. So you can obviously find us at androidheadlines.com. On Twitter, at Android Headline without the S. What else? Google Plus, Facebook.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Go look up Nick on Google Plus and tell him good job at CES. Or, you know, you get at me or Alex if you want to on Twitter or Google Plus, or send us an email. We are back with the Android Headline Show every week. Now, we took a little bit of time off for the holidays, but we're back in 2015 going strong, man. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun year, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, Alex, thanks for hanging out tonight, man. It's always a good time.
Yep, no problem. See you next week.
Have a good night.